Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, we talk all about the World Health Assembly. Believe it or not, there's some victories that we can celebrate, some small incremental wins that we talk about here. And we have James Roguski, who comes on, who has been monitoring the WHO in real time. So email me your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. If you want to get involved with Turning Point USA, go to tpusa.com. Start a high school or college chapter today at tpusa.com. Give a gift of any amount at tpusa.com. To get your copy of The Conservative Response to the Great Reset at tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage. For personalized loan services you can count on, go to andrewandtodd.com. The wonderful andrewandtodd.com. There is a major victory that we can announce from the World Health Organization. The World Health Organization and the World Health Assembly meeting in Geneva, Switzerland, the last couple days. And this is something that was really kind of going below the radar. And so, look, we shined a light on all of these cockroaches last week. And we helped really try to show what the World Health Assembly was trying to do. We tried to raise the temperature. Tucker Carlson led on this. Steve Bannon talked about this. And no one was paying attention about this at all. And basically, it was a direct and deliberate attempt to try to destroy and deteriorate and erode American sovereignty and the American ability to make health decisions. Now, incredibly, and this was very little, it's not covered at all because for obvious reasons in the last couple of days, what happened in Uvalde, Texas, remarkably, the congressional attention only came after Tucker's segment. And look, this story has been brewing for the last 10 weeks and the congressional reaction was almost nothing until the media coverage last week. But you dive deeper into it. Here's the amazing success story and the victory. Now, it's not all over, but 12 out of 13 of the proposed amendments at the World Health Assembly have failed. The Biden administration was going to Geneva, Switzerland, and they proposed 13 amendments, many of whom would have allowed digital passports. They would have allowed all of these, you know, the new kind of pandemic treaty regime, and it failed. 12 out of 13 of the most extreme and radical measures because of such dramatic and overwhelming backlash. So the WHO has now withdrawn 12 of Biden's sovereignty amendments amid fierce opposition. I'm reading from WND.com. Amid charges of ceding U.S. sovereignty to the World Health Organization, 12 of the 13 amendments submitted by the Biden administration for a vote in the World Health Assembly this week in Geneva have been removed from consideration. The amendments were publicized only last month, and it was advocacy of the independent researcher James Roguski that alerted the public to the implications for the U.S. sovereignty, prompting a groundswell of popular opposition, largely in the past week. Roguski has been monitoring the World Health Assembly proceedings, which began Sunday, said the withdrawal appears to be the result of, quote, the massive response from people all over the world in opposition to the amendments to the international health regulations, along with legal actions in the United Kingdom, along with the fact that the amendments can be resubmitted in the future, and the World Health Organization's ultimate objective is for the leading nations to sign a global pandemic treaty. The news of the removal of a dozen amendments through the legal action filed in the United Kingdom by physician Zach Cox after this May 17th request for judicial review was rejected, Cox filed an appeal last Friday. But 12 out of 13 of these amendments have now been, they've been not just removed, but they have been withdrawn. They're not going to be voted on. This is a massive victory against global attempted biomedical fascism. And James Roguski is coming on later in the hour, and he's going to say that we're not quite ready to spike the football yet, but this is still a massive and considerable victory. And this is a very, very real win for all of us that care about state sovereignty and individual sovereignty. And this is also the power of alternative media, War Room, our program, and many other programs that decided to go in on this story. Michelle Bachmann deserves a lot of credit on this for turning up the temperature and talking about these issues and talking about these topics and diving into them directly. Naomi Wolf, Dr. Malone, and now the World Health Assembly, as soon as you shine a light on this, they scatter. The World Health Assembly wants nothing to do with the increased attention. Now, cut 93 is one that I want to play for you. We're at the World Economic Forum, which was also happening in Switzerland. Remember, they're one after the other, World Economic Forum in Davos, World Health Assembly in Geneva. Helen E. Clark is aware of the dwindling support for COVID restrictions, and her solution? Full transformational change. Cut 93.
You know, people are over COVID. The problem is it's not done with us, but we're in danger of losing this moment for transformative change. So a lot of people are doing bits and pieces, but it's not looking like a coordinated push to get transformational change.
Transformational change. Look, we need to defund the United States from the World Health Organization. This is precisely what Donald Trump did, and we need to break away from these international global agreements. But you understand that these amendments that were proposed by the World Health Organization were largely withdrawn because of this grassroots push and of people that were speaking out against these proposed amendments, you included. If you contacted your representative, you played a difference in this. If you helped spread this content, you played a difference in this. And I know a lot of different people that have been increasingly nervous and anxious that American sovereignty would be perpetually put into jeopardy because of what was happening in Geneva. They wanted to have a global digital vaccine passport. Not going to happen right now. And again, we're not here to spike the football yet, but this is still a massive victory. In 1 week, because of the press coverage, because of the turn of events, we are in a much better position than we were previously. I want to thank you for those of you that raised your voice and help spread this story. I want to encourage you, those of you that felt as if it was inevitable that the World Health Assembly was going to get these powers, they withdrew 12 out of 13 of their amendments. And we're going to have an expert guest walk us through this in the next segment. It is not over. We can't celebrate, but it's a mini victory. 12 out of 13, that's a big deal. And it happened largely because of the international media coverage that you helped make possible. Those of you that text our podcast to your friends, it's not just us, it's Bannon, it's Tucker, but it wasn't a lot of media personalities and shows that were doing it. Not a lot. We were one of a few. But Tucker, obviously, with the biggest platform out there, really focused in on it. And I think made a very positive impact on it. I want to go to a shortcut here. Cut 48, vaccine passports. This is what they were trying to pass in Geneva, and it's failed. Bill Gates talked about how India had good vaccine passports, but we didn't. Play cut 48.
The data system, some countries did a very good job on being able to verify vaccinated status. The U.S. did not.
That's a short clip, but basically it's Bill Gates saying that they don't value privacy at all. What's privacy? Remember, you cannot have freedom without privacy. It's one of the great takeaways of studying totalitarian and authoritarian governments. Privacy and freedom are directly tied together. So think about it. If someone's watching everything you're doing all the time, then you're constantly being judged. You're constantly being graded. And then you don't have freedom. You don't have the ability to think for yourself, to make your own conscious decisions. Every totalitarian government in the history of the world needs to make sure that privacy falls and then freedom will fall. That's why vaccine passports and the social credit system is a necessary first step to get us to an authoritarian moment. So I want to play some more tape here out of Davos. But first, I want to show you guys, I want to play some tape here of Ron DeSantis, who is just America's governor. He preemptively last week started to say, you know what? We as a red state, Florida, we will never support this WHO treaty. We're going to push back against what the World Health Assembly will be doing. And every governor should be saying this. Why every Republican governor is not saying it is beyond me. Do you know that the governor of Indiana, Governor Holcomb, spoke at the World Economic Forum this week? I'm in Indiana right now. They said that last night at the event. He was an invited guest of the World Economic Forum. You want to see the difference between the two type of Republican governors? You have Ron DeSantis saying, we're never going to comply with these globalist project, World Health Assembly, WEF. And then you have another Republican, Governor Holcomb, who's going in as an invited guest to the World Economic Forum to try to help usher in the Great Reset. You'll own nothing and you'll be happy. America will no longer be the world's superpower. Western values will be brought to a breaking point. That's what a Republican governor is going to go wine and dine and support? Well, Ron DeSantis is different, which is why he's gaining so much support and why the media hates him so much. Play cut 27. He says, in Florida, there's no way we will ever support this WHO treaty. Play cut 27.
And while we're on that subject, we in Florida, there is no way we will ever support this WHO thing to send our stuff. That's not going to happen. No way.
He's preemptively saying that. And so as things stand right now, the malevolent shadow campaign, the snakes in the grass, the clandestine efforts of the World Health Assembly have been largely thwarted, backed down, backed off because of you. You helped make that happen. Those of you that listen to these programs and you act on it and you communicate, shining even the slightest light on the totalitarian global impulses of the World Health Assembly has made them back off. This is a massive achievement. Now, the war is far from over, and these people are going to try a second or third or fourth or fifth time. But it does go to show the power of exposure. It shows the potency of shining a light on this type of activity. You do that and they run away. This is precisely the game plan moving forward. We see things that happen, we must expose it. We see things happening, we must try to get as many people aware of it. It's the power of alternative media. It's one of the reasons why Twitter is so essential and why they're trying to destroy Elon Musk's attempt to go buy Twitter. Because imagine how many other shadow campaigns and below-the-surface efforts we'll be able to thwart if we actually have a fair and open internet via Twitter. Hello, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. Super important announcement. Look, when you swipe your credit card, you're funding liberal causes. Dozens and dozens of times a month. Every time you swipe that card, you might as well do BLM, LGBT. Clinton Foundation. But now there's a choice. I got to know these guys. I vetted them. Check out the technology. I'm a partner with them. I'm all in. It's called Coin, C-O-I-G-N. It's a new credit card built for conservatives. I'm moving all my credit card activity under Coin. And the Coin credit card is an unlimited cashback Visa credit card that is just like every other credit card you've ever owned, with one huge exception. Every time you use the Coin card, they contribute to conservative charities that support your values. I'm using it and you should too. Remember, we have to create a parallel economy, and this is a great new option. Act now. Go to coign.com right now to sign up to get a conservative Coin credit card. That's coign.com. Join Coin and let's start spending right. We're keeping our eyes on the World Health Assembly and the World Health Organization. And someone who has an amazing website, it's called leavethewho.com or leavethewho.com. And it's a Substack page that is monitoring everything happening in the World Health Organization in real time. What amendments are being discussed, who's presenting them. It's an extraordinary website, leavethewho.com. And the brilliant mind behind it is James Roguski, with us right now, and he's been doing an amazing job covering it. James, welcome to the Charlie Kirk Show.
Hey, thanks for having me, Charlie. I greatly appreciate it. I know time is precious, so I'll dive right into it. The latest that we've been able to find is going on. It's just so slippery, okay? The United States presented amendments back in January to the International Health Regulations. Now, if anybody says the word treaty or they say the phrase pandemic treaty, that's a decoy. You're talking about something other than what we're talking about. We're talking about proposed amendments to international health regulations. Very concise documents. What has happened is in the last week or so, they've been having difficulty reaching consensus, right? Basically, people are objecting to it, nations that are there. And the latest thing that I'm aware of, because obviously I'm not in Geneva, I'm in my dining room. The latest thing that we're aware of is off in some back room somewhere, there are discussions. And the latest thing that the person who's running this committee that is considering these amendments, he said in the issue or to forward the cause of transparency, whatever happens in this backroom meeting will be emailed to the people who are in the assembly. And I'm scratching my head going, well, why don't you just talk about it in public, right? Why do you have to email it? How is that transparent? And so what's going on is they don't actually vote on these amendments. The procedure by which they get all of their resolutions and their documents, they'll have a document that's published on their website, and all of the people who are there for the gathering, for the assembly, will have their computers and they can access the document. And they'll say something like, well, we're talking about document, you know, XYZ. Are there any objections? Oh, there aren't any objections. Great. Document's been approved. And so they've done that with a number of other documents, but they have not yet done that with either the original amendments or the new document that they published on Tuesday morning, just before the session where they were asking the 194 delegates to approve this brand new set of amendments. And so there's these two competing sets of amendments that they're trying to get consensus on in a back room somewhere. And then they want to bring that to the floor of the assembly and just slam it through. They were hoping to do that Tuesday morning, and they haven't been able to do it yet.
Got it. So that's very helpful. So 12 out of 13 of the amendments, it seems to have been withdrawn. Can you add some context to that, some clarity? What were those amendments? Yeah. What is the one that hasn't been withdrawn? This is just from the Biden administration. I know it's too early to celebrate and spike the football, but it seems movement in the right direction. Please help explain that.
The simple fact that they're still discussing it means that they didn't get to ram it through Tuesday morning like they had hoped. There are two competing documents, and thank you for pointing people to leavethewho.com. The documents are there. There's the documents that the Biden administration submitted in January, which were amendments to 13 different articles in the international health regulations. There was a court case in the United Kingdom where there was an appeal from the UK side of this. Zach Cox and I talked a month ago, and he pursued that. And there was word from the United Kingdom government, and that's where that 12 out of 13 comes from, okay? They didn't say they were withdrawn. They said that they were unable to reach a consensus. And that's doublespeak for we're cracking some heads in the back room here trying to get everybody to agree to this, whether it's, the carrot or the stick approach. They haven't been able to reach consensus. Now, what happened on Tuesday morning was one of those articles, Article 59, was carried over into this second document. And then they added amendments to Article 55, 61, 62, and 63. It's mind-numbingly, crazy and confusing. We're trying to sift this all out so everybody can understand that we're watching them in real time and trying to crowdsource that effort. If you go to leavethewho.com, you can click on it. You can watch the recorded videos. You can watch the live stream, from the WHO. But we're going to have to watch them until Saturday, because all they have to do is reach some backroom deal, bring that paperwork to the floor of the assembly, and say, does anybody have an objection? Oh, okay, nobody has an objection. Boom, we adopt it. And so we're just being vigilant, paying attention.
And thank you. You're doing amazing citizen journalism. I mean, you have all this regime media that won't be, bothered by this, and you're just doing a great job. I want to just encourage you and thank you for that. But I'm not quite understanding one thing. So the particular amendments themselves that can reach consensus, there's 194 representatives. Does it take a majority of them? Does it take a plurality of them? Does it Please.
That's the part that everybody's having a hard time with. You know, in our society, we think that's what they're going to do. It literally is. They mention a document. They give it a number, like, you know, 75A18. Okay. 75A18 are the amendments that the Biden administration did. 75CONF7 are the new document that they dropped. And so they'll say, okay, well, we're now going to ask if anybody has an objection to this document. They wait 10 seconds. Nobody objects. Boom, it's adopted. It's going to happen in a flash if it happens. And we're just praying that it doesn't happen. Everybody's thinking, oh, they're going to vote. Well, they sure should, but that's not how they play this game.
But if there's an objection, then what's the process? Let's say, I don't know, Nigeria objects. What's the process then?
They should have a procedure by which someone should be able to demand a public roll call vote. But the way they play the game is they'll never bring it to the floor if they suspect that there's any kind of an objection. They're working in the back room to wheel and deal to get those. Okay, I think the light bulb went off. I think I got my point across. I think you now see what I'm saying.
No, you did. Yeah. No, I get it now. No, that's helpful. And it's so undemocratic and so incredibly totalitarian. So it's just hard for me to kind of grasp, but I totally believe
problem.
It. So then let me just cut. Yeah, and it's very murky. So let me ask you just from the likelihood of these things actually getting in. I'm asking you to speculate into the future, which can be very, you know, tricky and difficult. But do you think a global vaccine passport, do you think kind of the ability to be able to erode American sovereignty when it comes to health decisions, is that a likely outcome in the coming days? Or do you think there's a chance that doesn't happen because of the increased attention that we've been giving this assembly in Geneva, Switzerland?
The second part of what you said is all of their wishes become far less likely as more and more people keep paying attention, okay? But the types of things that would be a vaccine passport and the talk of a pandemic treaty is not what's happening this week, okay? There will be a listening session on June 16th and 17th where people will be able to express their views. We'll certainly keep everybody up to speed on that. There's supposed to be a meeting in late July, and their goal is by August 1st to have their first rough draft of the proposed pandemic treaty. So anybody who's talking about a pandemic treaty at this moment in time is confused unless they are saying, well, there are many proposals, there are many possibilities. We're, you know, looking into the future. The first draft of an actual treaty is scheduled for August 1st.
Got it.
It's going to be a horror show. It's going to be a horror show. Okay. But that's you know, next so, one.
Typically, the World Health Assembly doesn't get any press at all. I mean, you probably have to beg the press to come to these sorts of.
Sure.
This is kind of an unusual thing for them, isn't it? Now that they're getting all this attention.
Power
and
of the
you
people.
Mentioned this earlier.
Right. It's the
yeah,
power
but
of the
all
people.
Of a sudden they're kind of the. Yeah, they're like the most popular kind of meeting in town. So can you talk a little bit about that, about how sunlight is the great disinfectant here?
Oh, when they proposed these in January, there was one little page that went up on the United States mission to Geneva. There was one article that was published. Kudos to the group that published it. Not a word. I found out about it on March 28th. And published my article, Wake Up and Smell the Burning of the Constitution, on March 31st. And I've been doing everything I possibly can to spread the word. And after April 12th, when they finally, after 2 months' time, just quietly posted it on the WHO website, you know, people started talking about it. And, you know, people like yourself talking about it. The power of the people has been amazing. We've had hundreds of thousands of people contact their congressmen. And that's a whole nother story, Charlie. Oh, man, we could talk for days just about how absolutely absurd the congressional response has been to this.
Oh, totally.
Don't get me started. We only got 5 seconds. But, you know, thanks for shedding some light on it. Yes, all eyes are on that which they were trying to do in darkness. And, you know, we're asking people to just go to leave the WHO.com and watch the goings on with us. It's happening right now.
I love it. Leave the who.com. You are a citizen journalist and you deserve great recognition and praise for that, because you're not sleeping. You're actually watching what these scoundrels are doing. So thank you for that. It's James Rogusky.
Well, there's been many other people. It's a group effort.
Well, awesome. Thanks so much, James. We'll talk to you soon.
Cool.
Thank you.
Yeah, call me anytime. Thanks, Ryan.
You know, when you graduate, usually commencement speakers want to try to inspire their audiences to be better versions of themselves, that this is the beginning of a new era for you, and what you've achieved before will help you, but it will not define you, because your decisions ahead of you is really what matters. And so you have to ask yourself the question, what kind of a commencement speaker do you think the Ivy Leagues are now inviting? Now, this shouldn't shock you, this shouldn't surprise you, but if my child went to Princeton and I had to go listen to Anthony Fauci give the Princeton commencement address, it would really make me question what they're doing at Princeton University. Now, Princeton is considered to be America's best college, either Princeton or Harvard. They take themselves very seriously. Now, Anthony Fauci should be in jail for his multiple lies in front of Congress, amongst many other things that we believe he's been involved in. Anthony Fauci gave the commencement address at Princeton University. Here's a cut of it, play cut 52.
Sadly, elements of our society have grown increasingly inured to a cacophony of falsehoods and lies that often stand largely unchallenged, ominously leading to an insidious acceptance of what I call the normalization of untruths. We see this happen daily.
Now, there's an interesting theory I have. One of the reasons why I think they had to bring him to Princeton for a commencement address is I think they just want to remind all the future power brokers of the class of 2022 at Princeton University that Anthony Fauci and the biomedical fascist regime, that we're all partners together. You see, Fauci never really got the criticism I think he deserved. He thinks he's been criticized. He has never had a fair and open debate against anyone of the numerous doctors, whether it be Dr. Pierre Corey or Dr. Robert Malone or Dr. Peter McCullough. Now, Fauci has done such incredible damage to the West, but to platform him at the commencement address at Princeton University, I think, is intentional. It's the signal to the graduates of Princeton University, the important people that are about to graduate, that as you grow in your career and stature, remember that we never question the health authorities. The World Health Organization, to all the different type of attempts to increase tyranny and decrease liberty, it almost always goes through public health measures right now. We did a whole podcast on this last week on how your freedom is more under attack under the auspices of people that want to do good in the health space than any other place right now. They can literally control your breathing. They can control your speech. They can control your movement. They can control your sovereignty, all under the guise of keeping you safe with public health. Cut 16, straight from the mouth of a key member of the World Economic Forum, quote, COVID is critical because this is what convinces people to accept, to legitimize total biometric surveillance. You cannot be free if you do not have privacy. Play cut 16.
COVID is critical because this is what convinces people to accept, to legitimize total biometric surveillance. If we want to stop this epidemic, we need not just to monitor people, we need to monitor what's happening under their skin.
We must be able to monitor what's happening under their skin. This is what they've been meeting about at the World Health Assembly and the World Economic Forum. And all the while trying to condition the future generation at Princeton University that Fauci, the CDC, the NIH, we're all on one team together. Against the lies that go unchecked, you're the liar, Anthony Fauci. You're the one that didn't allow disagreement with ivermectin or azithromycin or hydroxychloroquine or intravenous therapy. Or why did you never mention vitamin D levels and how they can improve your chances of defeating a reaction to COVID? Never once. Boy, you send your child to Princeton, just be careful. That goes for most colleges. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Get involved with Turning Point USA, tpusa.com. Thanks so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.